This morning is going to be taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 3. We're going to read from verses 13 through 17. And if you're willing and able, please rise for the reading of a Gospel text. Gospel of John, chapter 3, beginning at verse 13, reading through 17, reading in his name. And no one has ascended into heaven except he who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. That's Jesus Christ himself. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him shall have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Amen. Please be seated. Gracious Father, this is your word that is before us, and we ask by the power of the Spirit that you would speak and me and my human flesh would shut up. We ask, Father, that you would allow your Spirit to bring forth the truth that you for so loved this world, that you gave your only Son. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us in that truth because, Father, there is no truth outside of your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. This is a very familiar part of Scripture. We all oftentimes see it, and you've heard me say it 115 times. It's at every football game or basketball game or wherever it may be. We'll paint it on bridges, John 3:16. But there is a cost to discipleship. There is a cost in reality to sharing the gospel with a world that doesn't want to hear it. And it's an amazing thing because it has to be done. Even looking to this, it really speaks about the fact of where Moses, he had to point the children of Israel, not only to their own cause of their fall, but also to the answer. And in the world that we live in, we need to all the more voice our opinion. Well, that's a bad word. Our understanding of the Gospels saying that Christ Jesus has paid the debt of the world. That we must turn from ourselves and look to him fully for the assurance of eternity. That there is an order in this world, that there are things that are right and wrong. But human beings don't like to hear it. This text talks about faith. Even in our groups, we have a tendency to speak about works. We have a tendency to speak about how to attain something by doing enough good things. But God saved us by grace through faith. And we must hold to that faith. This being a tough week, as we all know, we can't pretend we don't know. We know that Charlie Kirk, the founder of Turning Point USA, was murdered. He was murdered. Wednesday the 10th. He was shot in the neck by a coward on a rooftop from about 150 to 200 yards away. Charlie was only armed with a microphone. And his real protection was a shade tent of earthly substance on a campus in Utah. Charlie was powerful in the Word of God. He spoke with conviction. He spoke with power and might. He had a pastor's heart bringing the truth to college campuses. He was strong in his convictions. He was unwavering in his convictions. Charlie was only 31 years old. And he was killed by a radically sick gunman. He was married 4 years ago to his now widow, Erica. And if any of you had seen her speech online, it was very powerful. Charlie was a human being. He was a husband. He was a father of two beautiful children. A daughter and a son. His daughter is about three. His son turned one in May. Now these children grow up without a loving father on the earthly stand. Why was he gunned down? Because he had encouraged youth around America for what? Critical thinking. He debated. And there are very few debates that you could see with Charlie Kirk where he acted in anger. He was calm, passionate. He wasn't even as radical as I am. We can't ignore this. Some label him as a Christian nationalist. Charlie always corrected this. You can see many times where he corrected this. He would say, "I don't identify by that label. I am a Christian who happens to love my nation." And he could back that with scripture, where we see throughout the Old Testament into the New Testament, where we are encouraged to stand with our nation. And if we think that's false, then why do we even have a military? Why do we have Veterans Days? Why do we have Memorial Days? He was a Christian first who loved his nation. Charlie understood that not everyone would receive his message of truth, but he wanted each and every person to have the opportunity to make the decision for himself or for herself. Isn't that what we are as Americans? While this is so tragic, and our eyes are focused on this tragedy, do we remember Fletcher Merkel, 8 years old? Do we know his name? Harper Moisky, 10 years old. Who were killed August 27th, 2025, in the Catholic school shooting. Do we remember there was 18 other students that were injured in that shooting? We also know that on August 22nd, a young Ukrainian woman, Irina, was stabbed to death in North Carolina. No one did anything. Kind of walked away. She was in shock and awe. A refugee that survived an ongoing war that we all want to be there for, to help. Her life was ended in the land of opportunity. How tragic is this? As tragic as all this is, there are certain people that just disgust our insides because they celebrate these kind of antics. Social media has all kinds of people that are very content to see Charlie Kirk die. Some media outlets actually kind of bring a point that he deserved it. Is this who we are? As Christians, as a nation, as brothers and sisters? I come back to the point and say, what do we expect? Sincerely, what do we expect? How can we expect a different outcome in a fallen world if we don't value human life? We're raising a generation that has no respect for human life. And we can blame the youth, but we're doing it. We're raising them. Some schools and universities, they teach the aspect there is no God. It's not enough for those that don't believe to be free in their own free will not to believe. But often those that do not believe are never satisfied there until they can discredit or actually rob somebody else's faith. They often promote their own position powerfully and feel the church should be silenced. Teaching that a child in the womb is not life but a clump of cells, I've heard this very painfully in my own life. Teaching that gender is fluid and it's okay to let children be mutilated even if their parents don't know about it. I'm not saying everybody. The key one, racism. Racism's being shouted on many stages and many gatherings throughout this country and other countries, there's no doubt about it. And isn't it interesting? It seems everyone is guilty of racism except for the one pushing the agenda of racism. Think about that. So in times like these, as Americans, we might look to our government for leadership and help. Seems to me we have very few leaders in our government. When a moment of silence was asked for on the House floor for Charlie Kirk, I watched in horror. I heard it with my own ears as some members of it yelled no, and there was a great commotion. I know there's edited versions out there. I've seen those also where it seems to be honored. But that vision of no is burned into my mind. These aren't leaders. They are takers. They take our money. They take our time. They take our national pride. They take our peace. This is so disgusting. Congress needs to repent. I was listening to a governor express his disappointment that our current president was still alive because of some insane rumors that were passing around. But the governor ended his speech by saying, just saying, there will be some news sometimes. Just so you know, there will be some news. My question is, what are we teaching our generation? And this call is not just to a congregation that probably wonders why I'm having a meltdown. It is something that needs to be proclaimed through this whole world. Do we love one another? Do we encourage one another? I'm not picking a side. I'm saying listen to the rhetoric that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. What are we teaching them? We're teaching them there's no value in a person's life that doesn't give us what we want. We see no value in a person that disagrees with us. They're more someone to be eliminated. That's the flesh speaking. We keep hearing during these circumstances that we should add more laws. To every tragedy, we want to add more laws. That's like telling the IRS they should add more laws. Do you even understand them? This country doesn't need more laws. Laws are powerful, powerless to stop people. How many people that you know of have been hurt by somebody that had a restraining order on the other? Many have been hurt. What did the law do? It revealed the offender had no use for the law. We are responsible for raising a generation. If our media and a majority of our government workers have no value in life or respect for opinions and positions of others, how does this generation have a chance? Our only chance for this nation is Jesus Christ. It's a time to stand in prayer and ask God to receive our apology, our repentance. It's a time to take back this generation from men in this world. And it's time to pray, to preach, and to teach truth. It's a time to see what the world is offering isn't working. Men fail, but God's word never fails. It's a time to look to God the Father through Christ Jesus. I'm asking that we'd be parents, that we'd be grandparents, that we'd be husbands, that we'd be wives, brothers, sisters, teachers, workers, children of God. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. Jesus shares something very powerful with us. He says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall the saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but put it on a stand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father in heaven." Charlie Kirk was asked, "What do you want to be remembered for when you're gone?" Charlie said, "When I'm dead?" And the reporter basically said, "Or just missing or whatever." Charlie Kirk answered, "I want to be remembered for courage for my faith. Courage for my faith." Charlie died doing what he loved, sharing the gospel, encouraging youth. Charlie's love for others made him vulnerable for his death. The individual who made the shot was full of anger and hatred. For anyone who would find pleasure in this, you are no different than the assassin himself. May God have mercy. America, it's time to repent and to be a light. And we ask, Father, that they could rest in peace. Fletcher, Harper, Irina, Charlie, and all who lost their lives to any radical behavior because of their opinions. I don't care about left. I don't care about right. I care about the integrity of the Word of God and who we are as a people, first and foremost as Christians, but also as neighbors or brothers and sisters. Our text very straightforwardly speaks in this fashion. No one has ascended into heaven. We're not the authority. We haven't gone to tell God what to do. But it is Christ Jesus that has come to abide with each and every one of us. And he says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And that's what we're called to. You can be upset, but I ask that you pray about this. And that we actually stop for a moment and consider, do we love our neighbor as ourselves? And the neighbor is not just someone that agrees with us. And are we lifting up Christ Jesus or our agenda? We're facing a difficult time, not just here, not just in America, not just in other countries, but in this world. What are we teaching? What's so threatening about "for God so loved the world"? It's not a message of "God so loved the world, he demands everything from it." For God so loves you. He loves me. He gave us his only son to pay the debt. Was Tyler that pulled the trigger? We need to pray for his family too. We need to pray for him. And yes, if he came to repentance, he'd be received. As much as my flesh wants to fight that. He is a child created in the image of God. This is loving a neighbor. Gracious Father, help them. Help Tyler and his family. Help Erica and her family. Help us as a nation to come back to loving one another. Loving one another. If we don't have that, we don't have anything. Friday, I laid to rest a friend. I didn't know him extremely well. I knew him more on a coffee clutch level. And I asked his wife, can I be blunt? And she said, yes. Last Sunday, I went down to the hospital. He was dying of cancer, and I watched him. This man is a man of means, lacking for nothing. But he was still dying. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our happiness is not going to be found only in this world. God will give us happy moments. We're celebrating some of them today. But the greatest moment is when we can love one another as Christ Jesus loved us. Christianity is not a game. And if Tyler asked forgiveness, and I'm going to say it very earthly from Charlie, in sincerity, I guarantee you Charlie would forgive him. Because Charlie didn't hold his life here only upon earth. He saw the eternal. May we see other people with the eternal eye. You can get upset at me for bringing up trans fluid. You can get upset at me over all those things. But I love you. And I pray that God will continue to give me a loving heart towards each and every one. It is not our job to divide. God will take care of that. Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. This is extremely important. Because as we come to the communion rail today, and maybe we have some bitterness in our hearts, we have some struggle in our hearts, maybe it's towards what happened, or maybe it's towards this message. Because yes, I'll be blunt, it was way more political than I've ever done. But when is doing the right thing or the wrong thing and deciphering that political? There is right and wrong. Whether we want to admit it or not, shooting somebody is wrong. There are necessities in war or protection. Sure. But it should never be celebrated. Never. I'm not so stupid, I can realize there are places, and I don't understand them, and I'm not going to pretend to be a doctor. There are places where maybe abortion is the only option. I don't know. I'm being honest in the flesh. But we don't light up skyscrapers in New York celebrating such a sick thing. It's time to turn and to look to Christ and say, Father, help us. And you know what his answer is? I have. And I will. For God loved the world so much, he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes, trusts in him, will have eternal life. God's not sitting up there with a hammer waiting to hit somebody. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that this world could be saved through him. May we share that message of love.
God loves you. I would share that message with Tyler. I'm not thrilled over what happened, but God so loves you. Look to him. Today we come forward and we have communion, partaking in the love that God pours out for each and every one of us. May we do it believing. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen.